Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you Peter Tosh, From Whaler to Warrior. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music, into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. You know, most people only remember the legend, the Whalers. Three voices, three brothers, three vibrations that changed the sound of a nation. But they forget the break. They forget the moment Peter Tosh, tall, burning, and unrelenting, stepped off that stage, turned his back on a rising empire, and walked straight into the storm. Not because he wanted to, because he had to. It wasn't just a band. It was blood. Peter, Bob, and Bunny, Rastas before Rasta became fashionable. Voices from Trench Town when the world still thought reggae was just noise. They shared food, ideas, dreams. They harmonized their pain, created unity in a place ruled by division. But even in harmony, there's tension. Even in unity, there's truth. And Peter, he never learned how to swallow truth just to keep the peace. The split didn't happen overnight. It crept in like mist, quiet and cold. Labels began circling. Industry men with smooth talk and sharp teeth. Money came into the picture. So did expectations. And then slowly, the message began to shift. Bob became the face. The industry liked him. He was passionate, poetic, palatable. But Peter? He was fire. Unfiltered. Uncut. Untamable. He didn't smile for the cameras. He didn't soften his words for airplay. He didn't dance for Babylon. He confronted it. There's a story few remember. Island Records signs the Whalers. Their first international album, Catch a Fire. A milestone. But when the album is released, Peter flips through the sleeve and sees something that stops him cold. Only Bob is pictured. Only Bob's story is told. No mention of Peter's role. No credit for songs like 400 Years and Stop That Train. No acknowledgement of the warrior who stood beside him in the trenches. Peter felt the knife right there in his chest. He didn't explode. Not yet. He just took note. Babylon doesn't erase you with violence first. It erases you with silence. He tried to speak up, tried to reclaim his voice inside the machine. But the more he spoke, the more resistance he met. They called him difficult. They said he was aggressive. They said he should trust the process. But Peter didn't trust processes that required him to shrink. And so he left. It wasn't an easy decision. He was leaving not just a band, but a brotherhood, a platform, a movement he had helped build from the dirt. People said he was jealous, said he was bitter, but those people never listened closely to Peter's words. He didn't envy Bob. He respected him. But he knew the road Bob was walking wasn't the one he could follow. Peter wasn't called to be a legend. He was called to be a lightning bolt. And sometimes lightning has to travel alone. He went back to the bush, to the hills, to the roots. No big label behind him. No luxury tour bus. Just his guitar, his ganja, and his truth. That's when Legalize It was born. That's when Equal Rights roared into the world. That's when Peter stopped being a whaler and became a warrior. There were no safety nets out there. The radio banned him. The police watched him. The government feared him. But the people in the trenches, they listened. Because Peter wasn't singing to be liked. He was singing to be heard. I once asked him, years after the split, if he missed the Whalers. He took a deep breath, stared out at the sky, and said, "Me miss me brethren, yes, but me nah miss being muzzled." That's what it came down to. Freedom over fame. Truth over comfort. A mic that told the whole story, not just the one the industry wanted. And still it hurt him. Don't let the fire fool you. Peter felt everything. He felt Bob's absence like a phantom limb. Felt the betrayal of the business. Felt the weight of walking alone. But he also felt righteousness. He knew the path of the prophet is rarely paved. He knew the cost of being uncompromising. He knew that singing beside someone who couldn't speak your language anymore was a slow kind of death. And Peter had already chosen his life's purpose. To burn. To blaze. To purify the space where Babylon had built its lies. When Bob Marley died in 1981, Peter grieved deeply. He never mocked Bob's path. He honored it. But he also reminded the world that being beloved and being brave are not always the same. Peter never got the stadiums. He got the scars. He never got the global merchandise deals. He got the beatings, the bans, the bullets. But in the silence that came after, something else remained. His voice, still raw, still righteous, still roaring. And maybe that's the lesson. Some people are born to lead choirs. Others are born to call down thunder. Peter didn't leave the Wailers because he hated harmony. He left because harmony had turned into compromise. And compromise was the one thing Peter's soul could never make peace with. So he walked down the lonely road, with fire in his lungs, and the truth on his back.